Our text for today is from 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. We've had a lot of long texts. Darwin appreciated the fact that we had a short one this time. He could get it all on the back of the bulletin easily. And it's a little bit larger, so hopefully you can read that fine. Paul writes to the Corinthian church, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." May the Lord add his blessing to our reading of his word, our hearing of his word. And May has been, well, we're here, aren't we, at the end of May. And it's been a month of emphasis on home and family. We celebrate our mothers on Mother's Day, congratulated our graduates, prepared ourselves for the month of June, where next Sunday, the first Sunday, will be Children's Day. Finally got it, Laura. Little inside story there. And then a couple of weeks later, and we're going to celebrate our fathers with our annual Father's Day. And I think all of us are trying to get in our own way to find the path, to find the track to happiness. It's kind of a race for the good life. And everyone, from young people to people in my category, you know, the aged, each one of us is seeking the good life, whatever you or I might consider that to be. What is the good life? What are some possibilities? Well, a possibility might be that we could start with what might have been the thought of many who believe they just took another giant step toward the good life these past few days here in Carbondale, where there were the super celebrations of getting that long sought after college degree. That is, some believe that the finish line of the good life is on the racetrack that's centered on gaining wisdom. It's quite probable that many of those with a new diploma tucked under their arm have believed that what they were seeking, the finding of happiness, was going to be secured by an excellent education. However, if that's the goal of that race, the finding of happiness, pay attention. One of the wisest men of the Old Testament scripture warns us, "He who increases knowledge is headed toward the increase of sorrow." Ecclesiastes 1:18. "For with much wisdom comes much sorrow. The more knowledge, the more grief." Is wisdom the way to happiness? Others find that they're seeking the good life by running on the racetrack that promises pleasure. These runners believe that the main purpose for being, the main purpose for life, is to eat, drink, and be merry. Yet, the wise men of the Old Testament found this kind of life to be empty and unsatisfying. Ecclesiastes, again, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. "I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good. But that also proved to be meaningless. Laughter, I said, is madness. And what does pleasure accomplish?" That doesn't appear to be a good target of a race to run, does it? Or many have made the mistaken idea, the mistaken thoughts, that happiness is found only in the accumulation of wealth through hard work. Well, again, the wise man of Ecclesiastes found that even wealth and fulfilling work do not satisfy the deepest hungers of the heart for the good life. Ecclesiastes 2, 11 and 18 and 19. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun, because I must leave them to the one who comes after me. And who knows whether that person will be wise or foolish? Yet they will have control over all the fruit of my toil, into which I have poured my effort and skill under the sun. This too is meaningless. Well, the obvious implication of all of that is that there must be something more. That something vitally important is missing. Well, what is missing? In wisdom. What's missing in pleasure? What's missing in work that produces wealth? So many have chased after one or a combination of these. Even some of us have run hard after the goal that we've envisioned to be the right one. The right one at the end of those tracks, what we thought was the winning finish line. And then we wake up one day and find that the writer of Ecclesiastes was absolutely right. And that happens when we get off on the wrong track. When we finish the race of life, that's all there is. Just wisdom, or just pleasure, or just wealth. And we're missing that essential element, central and necessary to real successful happiness. What is it that is the really true and faithful track of the race that you can run that leads you to the good life, where crossing the finish line has the eternal reward waiting for you? And wouldn't it be best then, the best idea, to start running toward the goal of the good life on that right track rather than going off somewhere else to run the race of life? I think I better do this. Well, the good life can begin when you decide to let God be real to you, real personal in your own life, through faith in Jesus Christ. And so we move on now from the Old Testament wisdom of Ecclesiastes to New Testament truth to find that answer. John, the 14th chapter, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." You see, until God in Christ becomes very real to you, the way and the only way, your life, the race that you're furiously running with your eye on an end goal of true happiness and fulfillment, your life will be incomplete, it'll be unhappy, it'll be full of emptiness. Ever heard of being full of emptiness? It's kind of an oxymoron, isn't it? But your life's going to be that way until God becomes personal and real through Christ. But you truly are empty without Christ in your life. You see, there is, I believe, a God-shaped vacuum within the human heart that cannot be filled satisfactorily with anything except the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, you can study nature, and what you discover is the greatness of God. You can study astronomy, and you'll come to the conclusion concerning the vast eternity of God. You can study philosophy and come to the conclusion that God, who who governs all reasonable thought is the source of intelligence. And all of those ways of finding God in the variety of his creation are good and they're important. But we come to know God personally as a loving father who loves me as I alone am. We come to know our own father of all fathers and the meaning in life and happiness in life. Finding that father of all fathers who completely loves us. We discover that comes only through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. The good life as we are finding it then through Christ involves a strong dedication to following the will of God. That's a truth that's revealed in Romans 12 verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. Paul spoke to the followers of Jesus Christ at Rome concerning two essential disciplines necessary to prove in their own experience, and likewise to prove in our own experience today, that the will of God is good and pleasing and perfect. The first discipline that he teaches us, the sacrificial dedication of the body to God. That's a discipline. It's the external condition for discovering how good the will of God is for your life. Until you're willing to let your body be completely at the disposal of your Lord, where you go with it, your physical body, what you do with it, again, your physical body, that's what I'm talking about. Until then, it is going to be impossible for you to discover and know how good God's will is for your life. So we're talking there about the external, the physical body, giving that to God. Then, of course, the second discipline, as we read it here in Romans, is the renewal of your mind. That is the eternal condition that you must meet in order to continue that discovery, to continue that dedication to the will of God. It's a huge part of the racetrack that leads you to the good life. Renewal of the mind. What does that mean? How do you do that? How do you renew your mind? Well, believe it or not, I always hesitate to point to myself personally, but in fact, I've had some experiences that help sometimes to illustrate a point. So I'll use my past here for that purpose. Maybe I'll do it twice today. In my high school days, I ran track. I was a miler, ran the mile race. And the mile race is four times around the track, four laps. Am I right about that, Keith? Yeah, I'm just checking myself out there. And you don't get to the finish line until you've gone all the way around four times. Each lap is a quarter mile. So I'm going to use the mile run here for an illustration. The first time around, the first lap is, of course, where you begin, where you have to begin. You can't just jump in and start with the third or the fourth quarter mile lap. So for the first quarter mile, Paul tells us that lap is a program. That's his description. Don't be conformed to this world, but rather be transformed. That's the program. The second quarter mile, second lap around the track, Paul describes as a process, the renewing of the mind. Now, people do not naturally think the thoughts of God. I think that's rather reasonable to state that. And the only way that we can even approach the thoughts of God is to read and study and develop an understanding of the words and of the ideas of the manifestation of God who has spoken to us and demonstrated by his life to us, God the Son, Jesus Christ. And again, I believe I must be personal for a moment for the sake of illustration. I was born into a family where my father and my grandfather were both active ministers when I was a child. They were pastors. That was my home life. And I was in Sunday school virtually every Sunday of my life. I never strayed. I never left church life as a teen or a young adult. Can't say that for some of my brothers, but I didn't. Still in Sunday school classes. Still reading and studying the Bible. Reading and learning the life of Christ. After college, where I hung out daily at the Baptist Student Union, and I went to church virtually every Sunday. Then I went on to seminary, where I eventually spent 8 academic years studying and developing intensive learning about Jesus, about his sayings, about his model life. I prepared myself as an educator, a religious education specialist dedicated to the continual and progressive study primarily of the life of Christ. And as an educator and as a pastor, I have spent 49 years teaching and preaching the life and the ways of God through Christ. And I am still learning more about the thoughts of God. I still have more to learn. I do not believe that you ever get through the process of renewing your mind through the thoughts of God. That second lap is a long, long lap. It's there that the Spirit of God reshapes and remolds and recreates within us the mental attitude that was lost long ago by the fall of human beings into sin. For the third time around the track, the third lap, Paul discloses the purpose for this renewal of the mind. That we discover in our own experience that the will of God is good for us, the good life found. There is no way for you to find the good life apart from a deep dedication to doing the will of God and none other. Now, the fourth lap for a miler is when you can see a finish line ahead of you. My experience as a miler was that the final lap was where I had to concentrate on putting it all together, finishing it out. And I see that the finishing it out is where you see the finish line up ahead as the eternal, the goal of the ultimate transformation, the renewal of your mind, thus doing God's will. And so the fourth lap pulls together the program, not conforming to the world, but rather being transformed, the process, renewal of the mind, away from sin and back to God's original creative purpose for the human race, and the purpose, the true experiencing of God's will above all. Put those all together, program, process, purpose in the fourth lap, and you win the race. The prize of eternal life with God. But I know this. The good life requires voluntary self-discipline along the way. You see, it's not enough to desire the right destination in life, or to put it in terms I've been using, not enough to desire the win, to win the race. You can make glorious plans and have a splendid vision of the ultimate destiny that you would like to achieve. You can dream and you can visualize the winning trophy displayed in your trophy case, but dreaming and visualizing is not enough. Desire alone is certainly not all that is necessary for achieving success. The truth is, you must have a self-discipline in which you give up or decide to go after certain activities and goals in life instead of achieving the most worthwhile goal in life. You don't give those things up. You're just after those. For instance, if you were in my place, a miler, and after the second lap, you were thirsty, and so you stopped for a drink. You got some ice in a cup. You poured out your water. You sipped it luxuriously so as not to get cramps, you know, while the others kept on running. Would you achieve your most worthwhile goal, winning the race? Not really. The writer of Proverbs wrote often about this process of voluntary self-discipline. Proverbs 19:20. Listen to advice and accept discipline, and at the end you will be counted among the wise. It's also repeated in Proverbs 14:2 and 15:32 and 16:2 and 3. Voluntary self-discipline. And the final thought that I give you today is that the racetrack to the good life involves determination. All the way around that track until the very end, till you get to the finish line. It's not enough just to know the racetrack that leads to the good life, you know, where it is and what it is. You haven't gotten far enough along by just having a nice family Bible sitting prominently on the coffee table in the living room. You know where it is. You know what it is. That's just not enough. It's not enough just to admire the racetrack that leads to the good life. You can't get the full effect just by making a visit, taking a look at the good track and saying to yourself, now that's a good looking track for the race of life. It's not enough just to plan to choose the racetrack of the good life. Again, you can say to yourself, I think that's the right track. That's the one for me to run on. That's where I'm planning to win the good life. It's a good choice, no doubt, but that's not enough to get the job done. The only way to get on that racetrack is that you must be determined day by day to walk or to run in the good way that leads to the right destination in life. And what'll get you on that track? What will keep you on that track? A constant determination on your part to stay in the Word, the Bible, with reading and prayer, with the support and the care of your family of God, the church. That pathway, the track to the good life, begins as soon as you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He immediately leads you out onto that track and begins warming you up. Accepting Him as Lord means that you will allow Him to lead and to command you. That He's your track coach. Because He cannot lead to the really, truly good life until you are willing to let Him be your Lord and Master. Jesus is the way out of the frustration of failure, the way through a life of hardship and difficulty and disappointment, and the way to the abundant life. Jesus is the way to the highest and the best, both in this life and, of course, into life eternal. And so this is the message of today. It's been the message ever since God, in His grace and goodness, created you. And you. If you want to find the good life, you'll find it through faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, I've got to talk personally about myself again for a moment. I've let Jesus become the Lord and Master of my life. And I am running the race with Him as my trusted coach. He's leading me as my Savior. And now I'm going to bring you in. How about you? Are you on that track with Jesus? Run there. Run there for your life, for the good life, for true and godly happiness. And I want to conclude with a good word from the ancient prophet Jeremiah. Words for today. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.